Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Chamber Music Tulsa presents the Tesla String Quartet and three concerts over the course of this weekend. And today I'm joined by the chamber group's cellist, Serafim Smigelski, who joined the group about 4 years ago. The quartet has been a prize-winning young quartet over the past six seasons, winning awards at the Banff Quartet Competition, the Fischoff National Chamber Music Competition, the Haydn Chamber Music Competition, and the London International String Quartet Competition. The quartet with Smigelski, violinist Ross Snyder and Michelle Lee, and violist Edwin Kaplan have a new recording out featuring the music of Haydn, Ravel, and Stravinsky. And they'll be performing the music of Haydn and the Prokofiev String Quartet No. 2 tonight in a special event beginning at 6:45 at the Renaissance Square Event Center, which is located in the Campbell Hotel Complex at 2616 East 11th. It's an informal concert with hors d'oeuvres and drinks and a chance to meet the quartet after the performance, in addition to their Sunday afternoon at 3 concert at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center, which will feature a program of new contemporary music and the music of Villa-Lobos. Serafim Smigelski is my guest today. Serafim, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You're the newest member of the Tesla Quartet. You joined about 4 years ago. But how does one become a member of an established quartet?
It's actually quite an interesting process. When the quartet is looking for a cellist, usually they look for somebody they like, perhaps ask for recommendations. And once you're being selected as one of the candidates, the quartet sends a couple of pieces to a new candidate, and you get to prepare for an audition, sort of. But then what it actually is you get together and you just play a bunch of music. And it's so interesting that you asked, because I remember my audition, or I guess our jam session with the quartet. And it actually was exactly Haydn and Prokofiev. So it's so funny, the two pieces that we're playing tonight and tomorrow. One of two pieces selected for my audition was a Haydn quartet and a Prokofiev movement of Prokofiev quartet, alongside some other pieces. That way, when you meet a new member, a prospective member, you get to, as a quartet, you get to play a bunch of different music, different styles. And I remember we started with Haydn, and we had this great chemistry right away and great sound together. And we thought, oh, wow, that sounds really good. How about we do some Prokofiev, let's just change pace. And that was wonderful. And we immediately had a great connection, and it was really fun. And I think a couple of days after, they called me back. Of course, I was really nervous because I really liked playing with them. And they called me to say, we'd like to ask you to play a concert with us. And that's usually a next step, because you can have a great chemistry in the practice room or in a rehearsal room. But playing a concert together is totally different.
The stress level is a lot. Yeah.
So we played a concert together. And after that, I was officially asked to join. And I've been very happy ever since.
I think it's interesting you said they have to like you first.
Right. Exactly.
How important is that you actually get along? Because you always hear of chamber music groups that have been together a long time, and for whatever reason, personality conflicts just become greater and greater as time goes on.
I heard about this as well, and there's this kind of expectation that people have to be professionals first and friends second. But I have to say that for me personally, it's incredibly important to also like people that I work with and have a really healthy relationship on a personal level, because to me that affects what kind of music you're making. And when I hear stories about the quartets that really just don't get along, fly different airplanes, never stay in the same hotels, it just make me think, how do they actually make music? It's all because chamber music is so much about the personal connection and conversation. And when you can't really have a healthy conversation with a person verbally and in real life, I'm puzzled. How can you have a conversation in music with this person?
Have you heard groups where those personality conflicts were there and you couldn't tell it from the music?
I have heard some of the groups that I would not name that I know have issues, personal issues. And I have to say that it was also transparent on stage. And I feel that groups that have better chemistry and better relationship also make beautiful music on stage as well.
So you get this all the time, I'm sure. How did the quartet choose its name? This is before you. You joined the Tesla Quartet.
Right.
But how did the quartet...
Yeah, so Ross, who is actually the only remaining founding member of the quartet, have been fascinated by Nikola Tesla, the scientist. He was reading quite a bit about his life and his work. And Nikola Tesla, being not only a wonderful scientist and incredible visionary, he was also quite a humanitarian, and he really deeply cared about how his work can benefit the community and how electricity or energy goes beyond just mathematics and convenience of everyday life, but how can it actually encompass people together and really make a difference in people's lives. And towards the end of his life, he was doing quite a bit of work on harnessing wireless energy from natural forces and transmitting that without wires. And what we like to use as our metaphor is that music is an unseen force, and it also is a form of electricity, a form of energy that is being transmitted without wires, at least in a live concert setting. And we'd like to think of us as conduits of that energy. And Nikola Tesla, being so fascinating as he was, just makes such a great inspiration for us as somebody who was able to combine science and art in that beautiful package.
Now, you're going to be doing three concerts here in Tulsa this weekend, tonight and tomorrow, of one program, and then a different program on Sunday. And tonight's is very interesting. There's always a salon concert on Saturday night, which is somewhat informal. I think even tonight's concert will be even a little more informal and really a chance to talk with a guest. And you're doing two pieces, a Haydn quartet and the Prokofiev II. Mm-hmm. Now, these were the same pieces you auditioned with, or was it another Haydn quartet?
It was another Haydn quartet, but actually the same Prokofiev.
Yeah, really.
And Haydn and Prokofiev, we didn't choose them randomly. We did think a lot about how to pair them. And we'd like to think that if Haydn and Prokofiev would have met in real life, they would have had such a great friendship immediately, because both of them have such a sense of humor in their music and sense of risk, and both of them like to kind of defy expectations. When you listen to the Haydn Quartet Opus 33 number 1, the one that we are going to be performing, it's a B minor quartet, but it starts in D major. and for the first few measures, If you know, one of our audience members or a few audience members have perfect pitch, they might be thinking, wait, they're playing different quartet. This is not B minor. But actually, right when you don't expect it, he just throws this B minor at you, and it's just so much fun. And Prokofiev, in his own way, he this particular quartet, he actually takes a lot of music that he heard. A lot of folk music of Kavkaz, which is the mountainous part of Russia, where he actually spent quite a bit of time during the World War II. And he actually kind of juxtaposes this folky and crazy and dancey music with his own kind of neoclassical style. So again, you'll be very surprised to hear these two pieces being kind of paired next to each other, and yet they're really somehow combined really well.
So there's some neoclassic elements
exactly.
in the Prokofiev.
Yep.
And again, Haydn was not above using gypsy melodies in his quartet true. Writing and mm-hmm. in his symphonic writing as
exactly.
well.
Exactly, that's exactly right.
And both of them did have this sort of unusual sense of defying what audiences expect to hear, unusual starts and stops. Mm-hmm. That's also true in the Haydn you recently recorded as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, we recorded another Haydn quartet on the CD that just came out, literally hot off the press. We're so happy. We're so thrilled to have the actual physical CD in our hands. And we pair Haydn with Ravel and Stravinsky in that CD. And again, it's that juxtaposition of classical versus neoclassical, and composers like Ravel and Stravinsky kind of looking back, and composers like Haydn looking forward and kind of meeting somewhere in between.
Yeah. You actually do the Ravel minuet on the name Haydn as well as a part of that. Let's hear a little music from the new recording. But before we hear that, talk about that process. Was this the first time you really, the quartet had gone in and recorded with the intention of making a compact disc?
We have recorded before, but that was, we were kind of looking for that moment where we can say we are ready to make a statement. What is the current state of Tesla Quartet, and put it on a disc? And we were very lucky to be working with an incredible team of an engineer and producer. They're Grammy winners, multiple Grammy winners, Andrew Kinner and Simon Eden. And we went to England to record this disc. And the process of recording it was both incredibly stressful, but also incredibly rewarding. And we are just, we can't be more proud of what we achieved.
What was stressful about it?
When you practice individually and then practice as a group and find that the perfect, or you shouldn't say perfect, that ideal sound that you really like. And sometimes it's something that just comes and goes away. You know, you can have a great performance that everything feels right, and then tomorrow is a different day and you feel differently and it doesn't quite work the same way. But then when you're in a studio, you have it. You have to have it. That's the day. You know, you're not so, you know, you can't really have much of a second chance. So to be able to perform and deliver that sound, that particular passage, just the way you want it, of course, there's a lot of pressure. But thanks to Andrew and Simon, who actually not only
are brilliant engineers
and producers, but also really warm and wonderful people. They make you feel so comfortable and just, you know, you perform, it makes you feel like you perform for them, and they're making you feel very, very appreciated and very cared for.
Of course, it's not just enough to do a performance of the piece. It's multiple performances,
exactly.
Because in any performance, there are going to be a few things that you want to fix.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means doing the piece over and over and over at that same intensity level. I would think that's really difficult.
Yeah, it is very difficult. And actually, it's also difficult to know when to stop, because sometimes you can have, you do 10 takes and you're still not quite satisfied. And then maybe you can do one more and then one more and one more. And then I think it's a job of a good producer.
The perfection goes further and further away.
Exactly. A job of the good producer, I guess, is to say, okay, I think it's really great. Let's just leave it there. And Andrew and Simon, I can't recommend them highly enough. They're just so wonderful. And also, speaking of, you mentioned on the name of Ravel's Minuet on the name of Haydn, Ross, actually one of our violinists, he actually also proved to be an incredible arranger. And three of the pieces on the disc are actually his arrangements of some of the Ravel's music. So I think people will be very curious to hear a music for a string quartet that originally was written for piano.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a wonderful feature of the disc as well.
Well, let's hear a piece that is written for string quartet. Uh-huh. This is the finale from the Haydn string quartet in C, which is a little later than the one you're going to be playing,
but
still very much in the same wheelhouse, the music of Haydn here.
Mm-hmm.
This is from the new recording by the Tesla String Quartet with my guest today, Serafim Smigelsky, the cellist of the group, and here is the music of Haydn. Thank you. That's music of Haydn by the Tesla Quartet from their brand new recording of Haydn, Ravel, and Stravinsky. Just came out, and they will be the guest of Chamber Music Tulsa for an informal concert tonight at the Renaissance Square Event Center, which you'll have a chance to mingle with the musicians during hors d'oeuvres and afterwards. That's at 6:45 at the Renaissance Square Event Center, located in the Campbell Hotel Complex at 2600 East 11th. And then, of course, they'll be doing their salon concert Saturday night, and then Sunday afternoon, their formal concert at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. And again, you're playing Haydn and Prokofiev for the first two concerts. And then the program on Sunday is very modern music, contemporary music. I think what the oldest piece is from the 1950s?
Exactly. Well, don't be alarmed. We take pride in programming our newer programs with lots of consideration towards the audience who might be not be as used to coming to the concert and only hearing, you know, dissonance and disturbing music. The actual program is really fun, and it's this wonderful combination of each of these composers kind of having their own take on what is it, what is a string quartet, basically. We have Vila Lobos, who is, of course, probably would be one of the more familiar composers on this program. His 17th string quartet is just so full of his signature South American rhythms and beautiful harmonies.
It's
and
very actually, tuneful. It's very,
very tuneful. Yeah. You know, it absolutely doesn't really feel like a piece written in the 20th century in a way. It's
or the 1950s for that.
Yeah, one. Exactly. Yeah. So then we have Philip Glass, who is, you know, his signature kind of minimalist style is actually, you know, even though it's utilized because that's Philip Glass, it's a very emotionally driven and very beautiful work with beautiful melodies and incredible intention to the sonority of the string quartet.
You know, it's interesting. There's a number of pieces in the first half that are fall into that minimalist genre, if you will. And, you know, when people first heard minimalism, I think it was so jarring, it threw people off.
Right.
But the thing is you're surrounded by minimalism for 30 years in pop culture,
exactly.
In movie scores,
exactly.
In commercials,
right.
In all sorts of things.
Right.
This music is really, really accessible.
Yeah,
for
is.
People who maybe have listened to Philip Glass 20 or 30 years ago and didn't understand it, you will understand it now.
Oh, yeah. This music, you know, I don't necessarily like the word accessible in a way that it somehow, sometimes it has a negative connotation,
yes.
As if it's not as interesting and complex. But I think this music is very listenable on the first time. A lot of contemporary music that is quite out there, I think requires probably several attempts to listen before you can start kind of understand the language. I like to compare contemporary music to a foreign language. Imagine you're listening to a poem in a language that you don't speak, in Japanese, for example, for us who don't speak Japanese, and when you listen to it, you can try to appreciate the rhythm and kind of the complexity of the language, but because you don't understand what's being said, it's always important to kind of give yourself another chance to perhaps maybe learn a language and maybe
learn a few words.
But this particular program, I have to say, every piece is in a way very easy to appreciate from the first time. Liova is another composer in the program. He's a New York-based violist, actually, and this suite is a wonderful collection of basically music from around the world. There is music from, you know, Middle East, then there is a kind of klezmer-style music, and then there's a Cuban music, and it's all just so lovely and so full of life.
And I think one of the things he does in that piece is he crashes cultures together.
Exactly.
There's one that he says this is a Malian African melody with Indian rhythms.
Exactly. Yeah, he's so much fun. He's a wonderful guy. We met him. He came to one of our concerts and he told us that one of the pieces, Budget Bulgar, for example, which is the last movement of a piece. He played a Jewish wedding, and he was just kind of improvising, kind of fooling around on a viola, and then immediately at some point he just got this melody, and he was just so in love with this melody that he actually ran to his car, opened his phone, and that was pre smartphones. He actually called himself and left himself a voicemail playing to his phone that little melody, and then he came home and wrote this little vignette of a piece. It's just so much fun.
So the viola suite is five little short vignettes, mm-hmm. that are sort of cross-cultural
right.
mashups.
Right, exactly.
And it sounds like it's a lot of fun to play.
It's really fun.
Now, also on the program will be music by Arvo Pärt, mm-hmm. and one of the new sensations in modern Western music today, Caroline Shaw.
Yeah.
This piece, Valencia, it is an amazing piece.
It's incredible. It's incredible. So try to think about how would you describe the sensation of eating an orange. Now, think about how would you describe it in music. So the Valencia, which is the name of the piece by Caroline Shaw, is actually a description of eating an orange. it's just an incredible idea, that you have something so such a beautiful image and such an interesting image, and then she was able to translate it into music, and people love this piece. Every time we play it, people come to us after and say, this was crazy, this outburst of sound. It was kind of like the juice of orange was just, it's really incredible. And Arvo Pärt, one of my favorite composers from Estonia, not too far from Russia, where I grew up. And the piece Fratres is his take on minimalism in a way that it's very simple, as simple as just few chords. And what he does with this simplicity, it's if I think about a minimalism painting where only all you see in a canvas is a square, like a Malevich painting. And when you really have to zoom in on that simplicity and appreciate every little tiny speck of a detail, it just puts it in different perspective, and it's really, really beautiful piece.
No, when you say it's simple, mm-hmm. and it is only a few chords,
sure.
Does that make it simple to play?
Absolutely not. It's actually very difficult, because when you have a lot to do in the piece, when you have the fireworks of technical difficulty,
a Tchaikovsky, string part,
or Stravinsky, for example, yeah. you're able to direct audience's attention to different things, and perhaps sometimes you can play like a couple of notes not quite perfectly, but because everything else is so incredibly busy, it kind of might go unnoticed. But when you literally have few chords in the whole piece, you better make sure these chords are perfect, because that would be very apparent that something is not quite right. And we love, as one of our warm-ups, we love playing scales as a quartet. And you're probably thinking, scale's just so easy, just, play these notes. It's actually incredibly hard to play a scale really well as a quartet, something as simple as a scale. It really just makes you, every bow counts, every note counts. And
when there's four as opposed to 40 of you, it's a totally exactly. different thing, isn't it?
So Arvo Pärt, masterful work. And don't be deceived by its simplicity. It's incredibly deep and complex.
Well, I have some music by Caroline Shaw. She's a wonderful composer, doing amazing things with voice,
yeah.
As well as this string piece. And it's interesting, you wouldn't think that hearing Valencia, she writes a lot for vocal, but mm-hmm. actually when you hear her vocal work, you totally yeah. understand this is her vocal technique opposed to string instruments. Mm-hmm. This is music from Valencia, which will be played by the Tesla Quartet Sunday afternoon at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center as they come to Tulsa, sponsored by Chamber Music Tulsa, with my guest today, cellist Serafine Smigelski. Music which will be played by my guest Sunday, Serafine Smigelski, as Tesla Quartet perform music by Caroline Shaw, Valencia, Sunday afternoon at 3 at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. They also have programs this evening at 6:45 at the Campbell Hotel Complex and Renaissance Square Event Center, and then Saturday night in the Salon Concert, sponsored by Chamber Music Tulsa. Well, Serafine, we wish you great success with the concerts this weekend, and thanks very much for spending time with
us. Thank you for having us. We're really happy to be in Tulsa, and hopefully we'll be back.
Cellist Serafine Smigelski of the Tesla String Quartet speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. Chamber Music Tulsa presents the groups this weekend with a special concert tonight, part of the new Friday Gallery series of Chamber Music Tulsa. That takes place at 6:45 at the Renaissance Square Event Center at the Campbell Hotel at 2616 East 11th Street. Then they'll be performing their formal Sunday concert Sunday afternoon at 3 at the Performing Arts Center, in a program featuring Caroline Shaw, Philip Glass, Leova, Arvo Pärt, and Heitor Villa-Lobos. For more details on all the programs this weekend, visit chambermusictulsa.org. That's more music by the Tesla String Quartet from their new recording. Studio Tulsa is produced by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.